Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
John Strand was a political prisoner because of January 6th, and you're not going to want to miss this interview about what happened to him in the nation's capital, but even worse, what happened to him in solitary confinement in a federal prison for doing nothing wrong. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and we are pleased to welcome back our very special guest, John Strand. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, John. And you had brought us up to the point where you were there on the Capitol steps, large crowd. Everyone was pushing. You basically got pushed into the crowd, almost like a wave of people. And now you find yourself inside the Capitol. As you walk in the Capitol for the very first time, describe to us what you saw.
Yes, thank you so much, Matt and Holly, for having me on. And after being pushed inside the Capitol very unexpectedly, I realized that there were already a bunch of people inside, which I did not anticipate or expect, including uniformed police officers who gave no indication as to if or where or what I should do or where I should go. There was also no signage. If you've ever been inside the Capitol, it is enormous and confusing. There's not really posted signage directing you where things are. But what I found directly in front of me as I moved away from the bottleneck at the door to make sure that my colleague wasn't harmed or trampled, which she almost was there at the threshold. And if you watch the 14-minute video posted at johnstrand.com, it shows you the surveillance footage of every step I took. So watch that and then ask yourself, did this guy do anything wrong and should he be in prison? It's insane. But essentially what happened is we found people in front of us just meandering through red velvet ropes. You've probably seen this footage. It's real. I was there. And it was a surreal, sort of eerily calm, but sort of just weird situation being in the building unexpectedly. There was some yelling, but it was largely just people meandering around, taking selfies and sort of in awe of the Capitol. And we wandered around for basically a total of 45 minutes. We couldn't get out sooner than that because of traffic and confusion. And then when a cop finally came up to us and said, it's settled down and we'd like you to make your way towards this exit so you can safely get out, we said, thank you, sir. And we did. So again, watch that video. You'll see everything I did while I was in the building, but that's literally what happened. And I just want to make a note on the point of violence and vandalism. Of course, the media has deluged the public with so many selectively edited clips and created a very deceptive narrative full of lies, fraudulence, and manipulations. But of course, there are clips that show vandalism and violence. I'm not saying that didn't exist because it did, but it's not the true story. So while I was inside, I did not observe this. And you know, when I got pushed into the building, it was predicated on a group of police that attacked unarmed protesters. So I believe after reviewing the footage that all the violence and conflict that occurred on January 6th was instigated and facilitated by government operatives and government action. Mm-hmm. And any actual quote unquote violence that could be ascribed to the unarmed protesters, 99% of it.
You leave the Capitol. There's no issue. You didn't engage in any violence. You didn't steal anything. You weren't resisting arrest. You didn't confront any police officers that said you need to get out of here. Nothing like that. Then one day you find out that you are indicted as a federal criminal by the United States government.
Well, I found out 12 days later when I heard blood-curdling screams at home in Beverly Hills and my front door was pulverized by a battering ram. And I was violently assaulted by 20 agents in an FBI SWAT team raid that has still scarred myself and my colleague. And these raids have been used on hundreds and hundreds of families, including young children, traumatizing them beyond belief.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely.
And that's the first notice that you got that you would be. Yep. I mean, they just barged into your room.
They just barged
to your house.
Yeah. 12.
And what did they charge you with? What crimes were you charged with?
They didn't tell me at the time. I was disappeared for 4 days without a single phone call. And it took a private investigator to find me and force them to allow me to get bailed out, which was egregious, unconstitutional and disgusting. But finally, you know, weeks later, when I was home and found an attorney and reconvened with my colleagues and determined what on earth is happening here, we realized the federal government was charging me with a 20-year felony, which is actually the statute 1512, and they call it obstruction of justice. But the title of 1512C2 is tampering with a witness, evidence, or informant, which of course had absolutely nothing to do with me, my behavior that day, or anything that was going on. But ironically, is exactly what Liz Cheney did when she committed a felony crime in tampering with a witness on the January 6th Select Committee and tampering with and hiding and I think destroying evidence.
So they gave you the opportunity to go ahead and cop a plea,
yes,
and they wouldn't charge you with the 20 years in prison, but you'll still have to pay time in prison. So they hung that over your head, and you didn't do anything wrong. So you said, no, you're going to go to trial because you didn't do anything wrong.
That's right. And it's important for people to understand this, not only about my story, but January 6th in general. The DOJ, completely corrupt and weaponized and knew that this was false, lied. They just said a very false narrative. They put it to paper and enforced unarmed protesters to swear to it with a proverbial gun to their head of a 20-year felony, which is quite a gun that will destroy your life. So most January 6ers took the plea deal under that duress. I can assure you, most of them are completely innocent, absolutely would want to protest their innocence, absolutely did not have any criminal intent, which is required in these cases to actually be legitimately convicted of a crime that you had criminal intent. I do also want to push back on folks that say, well, we know that some crimes were committed. There was trespass, et cetera. No one was actually charged with trespass. Everyone was charged with 1752, entering and remaining in restricted building or grounds. There are a few different legal reasons why that's improper and was not correctly applied. So, you know, these are innocent people, myself included. But in my case, I did refuse the plea deal, which was very rare.
So in your case, because you did refuse the plea deal, you went to trial, they convicted you, then you were remanded to prison. I want to talk about that. But in the meantime, the United States Supreme Court on the case of Fisher versus United States issued a ruling regarding the so-called Sarbanes-Oxley Act. That was the 20-year prison sentence. And they ruled that that could not be used against January 6ers. And as a result of that, you then were released from prison on July 24, 2024. You were released after you filed a motion regarding that particular situation. So we're glad that you were released. Mm-hmm. You should have never been incarcerated because it was not proper to use that law in the first place, which they did to so many others. But I want to want you to describe what happened during the time that you were in prison. How long were you in prison? And then what happened to you in prison?
So I was sentenced to almost 3 years. I describe this in detail in the book, Patriot Plea, which I really hope people will get a hold of and share with their family and friends. The message is really powerful. Not only the story of what happened, but the story of what's happening to our country and the opportunity and the duty that every one of us has to take hold of our citizenship and turn the country around. So I was learning how to do that while I was in prison during this time. I knew that I was innocent. I knew that God had called me to take a stand and refuse the plea on principle. And I saw this as a deployment behind enemy lines in service of my country. So while I was inside, I made it clear to the prison staff who I was, what my beliefs were. They made it clear that they were in charge. I wasn't trying to argue otherwise. And I asked them to advise me of any and all rules so that I could follow them and be their quote unquote easiest customer. But I also made it clear I was a civil rights advocate, a journalist, a public speaker, and that I wanted to continue exercising my First Amendment rights and exposing the fraud of January 6th. I didn't have a bone to pick at that point with the Bureau of Prisons. So I wasn't looking to comment on the prison system or my experience in prison at that time. I simply wanted to continue talking about the fraudulent convictions and the corrupt DC court system and et cetera. They said, in theory, they didn't mind that, but then they lied and entrapped me. And eventually what they did was put me in solitary confinement within prison. And then they disappeared me and I wasn't heard from again for a staggering length of time. To give context to this, if you are put in solitary conditions in prison, first of all, prison is miserable, period. So even general population in prison is terrible. I hope you'll read the book to learn just why, but it's awful. But then when you are put in isolation, separated from every possible small form of comfort or normalcy and any communication with people, you begin to become, you begin to panic.
I would like to see if you could go into more detail on that on another program with us.
Sure.
Because people have no idea the psychological warfare that was waged against you and so many others. Our guest is John Strand. You can get his book, Patriot Plea, at johnstrand.com. That's johnstrand.com. And for more information on Liberty Council, lc.org. That's lc.org. We'll be back on another program with John Strand to talk about his solitary confinement.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.